We have to redo it now.
Again.
Bechavad.
Your permission. Parashat Ki Tavo must be read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says. Really, behind it, what the Gemara says, since we have 98 curses, we want the curses to be behind us. The Gemara comes with a statement, this year should be finished and end all the curses.
Amen.
The new year should start with only blessings. So by reading the Shabbat, 98 curses, it's finished. It's finished. How is it finished? Just because you read the Torah? And why do you have to read it? You have to read it in the Torah? What does it do with the Torah? If Hashem, somebody has a curse, he takes the Torah out and he reads the curse. But reading the curse, he doesn't get rid of the curses. Maybe you pray for it, you do Ta'anit for it. But comes the Gemara and says twice a year, once before Rosh Hashanah and once before Shavuot. Before Rosh Hashanah, we read Parashat Ki Tavo that contains 98 curses. Before Shavuot, always, we Parashat B'chukotai, it contains 39 curses. Likewise, the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin, the day of judgment. Before the judgment comes, we should read 98 curses. Shavuot, says the Gemara, also, it's called Yom Hadin, it's a day of judgment. Hashem judges in Shavuot for the Neshama. We should read Parashat B'chukotai. When you read it, you get rid of the curses. How do you read of the curses? Just be reading the Torah, you don't have curses. Special thing, take the Torah out and read. The idea, what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing it, it's even worse what we think. Parashat B'chukotai, before Shavuot, Hashem said 39 curses. It's from Hashem. You read the text, it's in plural. It's in plural, curses, 39 curses. This next parasha is 98 curses. I'm sorry, 49 curses in B'chukotai, not 39. 49 curses by Hashem. Okay, enough is enough. Here comes Moshe Rabbeinu. 98 curses. The Gemara says, that's for Moshe. Moshe is extending curses. For what? Enough, we have 39. Moshe repeats certain mitzvot in this book, Sefer Dvarim. But then they don't have to repeat curses. Not only repeat the curses, he extended the curses. Why is he doing it? Our minhag is the Chazan. He is going to read the Torah. He is not being called to say bracha because you don't say Ya'amod, the curses say. So you say, okay, nobody wants to go up here. I actually know somebody. He called me. He says, I don't know what happened. I went, I told the rabbi to give me the aliyah. And since then, years and years and years, I suffer. My business, my this, my this. I says, why do you go up to the curses? I says, well, I didn't understand exactly the concept. I says, what happened? On the other hand, I do know somebody else. And every year, he goes to the Gabbai and says, where are the curses? Parashat Ki Tavo Shishi. I like to get the curses. He goes to the curses. He told me himself, he goes to the curses. I think he told me. But I do know, he goes to the curses. He's not doing it anymore. He's in Galilee. But that's not why. Maybe a little bit, you're right. I don't know. I didn't think about it. But it's a very big Omer. Big Mekubal. Big Mansi. I didn't ask him nothing. I said, you want to go up to the curses? You want to go to the curses? Now, the one that reads the Torah, he gets the curses every year. So he shouldn't read the Torah. But, no, he's not afraid. He's going to read the Torah. He's going to get no curses. What's the purpose of it? And you read this, such bad things, it's almost impossible to believe. One of the curses, Mitzchah Shalom, when there come a time, people will eat their own children. Not only can eat their own children, they're not going to share, Mitzchah Shalom, the flesh of the child with their relatives. One of the curses, it's possible. But what does Moshe want to say? I said, what's the purpose of it? I'm going to tell us the following. Sometimes there's a decree on a person. And then the decree on a person is almost impossible to cancel. Sometimes for less life. It's not, you can't do nothing. When the Chatam Sofer says, for example, and somebody had a dream that he walks on the street and a wall falls on him. A wall falls on him. And it says, when this is God, he gives tzedakah. Somebody had a dream, they had a fire in his house. Okay. So, sometimes the Gemara says, dreams are nonsense. It depends what you eat for supper. Just the food that's in the stomach has a lot of impact on the dream of the person. Or the way he went to sleep. He was happy, he was not so happy, he was upset, not upset. All the things have some kind of energy on the dream. But I never said, listen, you had a dream that there's a fire in the house. Get up in the morning, light a match, and burn a little piece of paper. For the dream to be fulfilled. The Gemara tells stories like this about certain things, about people curse. So just disregard it. It's possible. But you have to be in a certain level that curse will not hit you, nothing will happen to you. But when you accept something on you, by accepting it, it's done. We have a mitzvah of Shema Yisrael. Ari says, based on the Zohar, I say, we know the story of Rabbi Akiva, at the last day of his life, the woman's Yimach Shemam come, his flesh, he was saying Shema Yisrael, died while he was saying Shema Yisrael. See, it's true. But the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was student of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, the giant. The Gemara says Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, before he died, all the students came inside. And everybody came and departed, said goodbye to him. So Rabbi Akiva asked him, tell me, what's going to be with me? He told him, your death is the worst. The worst. So he tells him why. And that's what happened from all the 10 giants that the Romans killed. The worst death Rabbi Akiva. The story in the Gemara. But it doesn't say exactly what I'm going to tell you. Baal Chachamim tell us, when you hear something like this, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Somebody has a kind of a dream or illusion, or he thinks something's going to happen. A dream, he died. What are you supposed to do? You may ignore it. Husni said, don't worry about dreams. But nevertheless, people get nervous. I know, I saw somebody, I dreamed somebody died. He himself died. So based on the Chatam Sefer, based on the Zohar, based on the Ariz, says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He said, when you connect yourself to Hashem, you should accept four kinds of deaths. But the Gemara says, a person might get. By accepting it, it is like, you got it. He says, especially before a person, before he goes to sleep, he should accept those kind of punishments on himself. But by really accepting it, it's done. Because the Gemara says, a Jew, his thoughts are so strong, it is like you did it. Machshava tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzafa lemaaseh, and says, the Gemara says, salach and the Gemara. I says, you want to go buy a lulav, couldn't find a lulav. He walked around, couldn't find it. Comes to court, you all upset, I didn't get a lulav. In Shemaim, you got a lulav. Actually, physically, you don't have it, it doesn't matter, physically. The power of the lulav, what the lulav is supposed to do for you, is done. You don't have to think, how come I didn't have lulav? It's every mitzvah the Gemara says, chashav lasot mitzvah v'neinas, ki lo asa. Salacha, salacha in the Rambam. As long as you really want to do something, and you mean it, it's done. Says the Zohar, says Ari, you see Shema Yisrael, you know Shema Yisrael is a very powerful thing. I said, what's so powerful? The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Say twice a year, twice a day, I'm sorry, Shema Yisrael, in the morning, at night. It is like you learn Torah the whole day, of course. What it means is you don't have the time to study. But let's say you have the time, no, it won't help you. But let's say you're busy working, and you're busy for the good reason. You couldn't learn. Says the Gemara, Hashem told Yeshua, Vagita Bema Malayla, learn day and night. Not for Yeshua, for us as well. So the Gemara says, listen, if you say Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening, you covered. It's like you did learn. Why? Because Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad means I devote my life to Hashem and I'm ready to die for Hashem. I'm ready to die for Hashem and devote my life. It doesn't matter. You didn't. I couldn't. What should I do? I have to go to work. I have to go to work. I have to do this. I can't do it. You can't do it. It means like you did it. As long as the Gemara says that's what you have in mind, truthfully, being done. And so Chatam Sofer said, listen, you don't know, you never know. So wake up in the morning, you had a dream that there's a fire in the house, light a little match. It's done. Done. Say the idea of our life is to devote ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100%. When you devote yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's done. That's the power of tefillah that we have is to devote our heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much. And that's what Hashem wants from you, nothing else. And Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, saying these curses, this Parashat Kitavo, as Ra Sofer decided to put 98 curses, you read it, it's done. It's done. Everything is done. It's not done. This is when Shal starts Mitzvat Bikurim. Mitzvat Bikurim. You have to bring Bikurim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, to the Kohen. So drag yourself to Yerushalayim. Come to Yerushalayim. You give a Kohen in a basket. Something from the seven kinds. A little raisin, a pit of a pomegranate, you did the mitzvah. You go to Yerushalayim, you did the job. I did the job. How did you do the job? By how did you do the job? Because you came to Yerushalayim, you get the job. Yeah. Mitzvah Bikurim comes to Gemara and says, don't underestimate this mitzvah. This mitzvah will grant you for Shana Tova. Says the Gemara, a person brings Bikurim, he hears from Hashem, I'll see you next year. What? It's the only mitzvah that Hashem so-called guarantees the person to see him again next year. Only because... So what do you do? He came to Yerushalayim. He came to Yerushalayim. He gave the coin, a raisin. So what do you have? He has vineyards. How much you have to give a coin? Hashem said, give him 1/60th of the produce. Hashem said, nah, one. One? He came to Yerushalayim? Well, the Gemara, the Mishnah, described the arrivals of these people to Yerushalayim. Everybody from Yerushalayim is standing up while they're coming inside Yerushalayim. They close all the stores. Before they enter Yerushalayim, people go outside, welcome them. Thank you for coming to Yerushalayim with the Bikurim. Come inside, come inside. Come to Beit HaMikdash, says the Torah, you have to read a text. Here's a text. What the text say? Well, Laban wanted to kill Yaakov, and then we went down to Egypt, and then we suffered, and we screamed to Hashem, and Hashem took us out, and here we are. I'm in Eretz Israel. Here, Mr. Cohen, I brought you Bikurim. Why you brought me Bikurim? I live next to you. I'm your neighbor. He just gave it to me to my house. Why do you have to come to Yerushalayim? He lives in Sfat. Took him 5-6 days to get. The Gemara says, takes a person that lives the furthest spot in Eretz Israel, takes him 15 days to come to Yerushalayim. Why do you come here? Yeah, I want to give you a coin to be Kurim. I said, for this you came? I'm your neighbor. Why do you come here? What the mitzvah is this? For this? For one reason, you came to Yerushalayim? And then you get a bracha from Hashem? I see you next year? It's embarrassment. The whole thing is embarrassment. Chachamim tell us like this. The word Bikurim comes from the word Bechor. What's the halacha? A person goes to his backyard, to his field, to his orchard, his vineyard, he sees the first fruit that comes, he marks it, and I'm taking it to Yerushalayim. What is the firstborn? What does that mean? So Bechor, we know that the first concept of Bechor is when Yaakov bought the firstborn from Esav. Avinu died, and Esav came home and asked for Yaakov for some food. Yaakov said, gladly I'll give it to you, but I want to be the firstborn. I said, Yaakov, why do you want to be why do you want to be the firstborn? Because he wants to serve in Beit HaMikdash. At that time, until we participated in the golden calf, the firstborn, they should have been the Kohanim until Hashem would give us the Torah. On our Sinai, we were granted, and the Zahir says, Mashiach will come here, amen, amen. Every Jew will be Kohen Gadol. Not Kohen, Kohen Gadol. Because that's the goal in life, to serve a Kadosh Baruch. And then Yaakov Avinu, at that age, he was 15 years old, he said, that's what I have in mind. What do you want, Yaakov? I want Beit HaMikdash. I want to serve in Beit HaMikdash, nothing else. That's my life, that's my goal. I don't want my brother Esav, he is not on that level. I don't want him to be. Because if he's going to be the Kohen Gadol, he's not going to be Beit HaMikdash over there. Therefore, he bought it. It's called Bechor. And actually, Rishonim say, what is this concept with Yonah Ben? It looks like a joke. You know? A baby boy is being born, the firstborn. They say, you do Yonah Ben. What do you mean? The Kohen, precisely the Kohen, ask the father, would you like your son? Or I keep your son? If you want to have your son, let's redeem it. Give me those 5 coins. What is it all about? What's the joke? So Rishonim said, really the firstborn belongs to a Kohen. Because the Kohen's obligation is to teach Torah. And really the firstborn at least should be devoted by his father to study, to be a scholar. How is he going to be a scholar? His father works, he has no time. I said, give him to a coin. So Hashem said, firstborn belongs to a coin because coin's obligation to teach the firstborn. That's the secret of Yonah Ben. It's not just an act. Because it really belongs to a coin. It belongs to a coin. You don't want to believe it. But it's true. He belongs to a coin because it's a coin's obligation, not because the coin wants to adopt him. The coin has obligation to teach him Torah because the continuation of Torah has to be at least by the firstborn. And this is really what we have in the Tefillin Kaddish Li, Kol Bechor, because this is something that Hashem gave us. He took us out of Egypt. He said, what happened? Makal Bechorot. What happened? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when you go to Paro, tell Paro, the Jewish people are not going on vacation. They're not going to have a state. They're going to be my Bechor. They have to come to Beit HaMikdash. That's why we came out of Egypt. We didn't come out of Egypt because we were slaves over there. We came because our destination is Yerushalayim Beit HaMikdash. That's our destination. And how did we get it? From Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, that's it. I am the Bechor. I want to be the Bechor because I want to be in Beit HaMikdash. So that's the purpose of our life, to be in Yerushalayim. It's not, I go to Yerushalayim because I go visit Yerushalayim because a person has inside himself, has to have in his heart a desire all the time. Where are you? Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash. That's the desire. I don't know if I told you. Somebody told me, here's a stone in Borough Park. I said, Borough?
I think so.
He makes suits. He told me he's to learn Lakewood Yeshiva. I didn't mean Rabbi Zandberg. He told me he's to live in Lakewood, he's to learn in Lakewood Yeshiva, he's to drive the Mashgiach home every day after Mincha. He stayed in a dorm over there. One day he asked the Mashgiach, while he drove the Mashgiach, he asked him, maybe the Mashgiach knows somebody goes to Israel? The Mashgiach said, yeah. I said, what do you need? I said, I want to send a package. He said, happened to me? I'll tell you the truth, I'm going to Israel. Okay. I said, can I bring the Mashgiach a small thing to take to Israel? He said, yeah, bring me to me. He goes to the dorm, he takes the package, he goes to the Mashgiach's house. So I opened the door, said, what do you want? He just brought the Mashgiach. I said, no. The Mashgiach is going to Israel, so I brought him a package. Burst laughing. So he asked him, what's he laughing? He says, every day Mashgiach goes to Israel. You ask him, where are you going tomorrow? I'm going to Israel. Tonight, I'm going to Israel. He means it. He didn't play it. You have to have time because that's what Yaakov did when he bought the Bechorah. He didn't want to be the firstborn. He wants to serve Beit HaMikdash. That's the goal. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a trick. The trick is that Hashem wants you to have that desire. And if you can have that desire and you mean it, even though it's not actually happening, as long as you want it, really, it is like was done. Done. That's the Gemara says. So the person comes to Beit Knesset, the Marsha says, yes, he has to have in mind, I'm not in Beit Knesset. I'm in Yerushalayim. I'm not in Yerushalayim, I'm in inside Beit HaMikdash. Because that's what Hashem wants you to have. As the Mishnah says, you have to kavana when you pray Shmoneh Esrei, have in mind Yerushalayim, have in mind Beit HaMikdash. But it's not, the Rambam says, it's not the kavana. If you think like this, you are over there. As long as you mean something, Machshava Tova, Hashem immediately makes it like you're there. It's not imagination. It happened to be, you're there right now. So the Marashal said, you know, a Chazan in Beit HaKnesset, he has to know that he is like on Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol, Kodesh HaKodeshim, the holiest of the holiest. Every time he says Shmoneh Esrei. But you have to be up to it. You have to feel that you want it, that you have the dignity, you have the Kavod for Hashem. It's something else. But when you have this in mind, the Lord says, that's all I'm right. You are a debt moment at that time on that place, and it was fulfilled. And that's also when you divide the parashah, you say, okay, parashat, kitavo, the curses start coming. Okay, let me tell you something. I will train you that your mind is like done. As long as you have it done, you're okay. you don't want to go to Yerushalayim. As long as you have that feeling inside you, you are in Yerushalayim. It doesn't matter the physical body where the physical body is. That's what Yehuda Levi says. Anuchi b'ma'a. Ibi b'mizrach. My heart is Yerushalayim all the time. Doesn't matter. He lived in Spain. I don't care where I live. As long as you want, that's where you are. As long as you want to do a mitzvah, you're doing the mitzvah. But if you don't, it means you're not there yet. And come to us, Hashem will give you the easiest mitzvah, easiest. Take a little basin, put it in the basket, go to Yerushalayim. Go to Yerushalayim, bring Bikurim. Okay, you come over there. I said, you read a text. The text said like this, no. By the way, this is a paragraph that we say in Haggadah Shel Pesach. Part of the Haggadah stands on that paragraph. Because the paragraph starts, Laban wanted to kill Yaakov. If Laban would have killed Yaakov, what would it have been? The typical explanation means, we wouldn't have Am Israel. Not exactly, because Yaakov already at the time had 11 children. So, Laban did not want to kill his grandchildren. He just wanted to get Yaakov. So, what would have been the tragedy? Okay, no, it's not nice. No, that's not the tragedy. The tragedy that Yaakov wants to go to Eretz Israel, and he had a dream before he went to Laban's house. And in his dream said, this place that I am at now, I hope it's going to be Beit HaMikdash. I want to go over there, and I want to pour oil over there. So it means that Yaakov wanted so-called to exercise. Kohen Gadol, to exercise, he wants to be Beit HaMikdash. And this is what the Torah tells us. That Yaakov's dream was not a dream that he had a dream. And he gets up in the morning and said, Manorah makom hazeh, zeh shar shamayim, this is the place, you, this is over here. I want to come back and I want to pay my dues because this is Beit HaMikdash. And he felt it. And that, what the Haggadah says, what the Torah says, he would bring a Bikurim, he would read a text. What the text? Laban wanted to kill Yaakov. What do you mean, Yaakov? It means we know Kohen Gadol. It means the transaction that Yaakov had with Esav, he wants to be Kohen Gadol, it was for nothing. I mean, of course, it meant that he wants. But really, he wants to achieve it. And here, Haggadah would say, okay, let me tell you something. Then we went down to Egypt. Okay, so what Egypt? What Egypt? It's exile. No, it's not exile. As we couldn't be in Eretz Israel, we couldn't have Beit HaMikdash. And we screamed to Hashem, and Hashem took us out. And Hashem took us out. Why did Hashem take us out? Because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when he met Moshe Rabbeinu, tell them, you're going to go to Eretz Israel. They're going to be in Eretz Israel. They're going to go to Har Sinai. They're going to go to Torah. They're going to Eretz Israel. But if they came out of Egypt. And here they tell us the coin, here it is, I'm here in the land, Hashem, and where I am, I am in Beit HaMikdash. And the Torah says, okay, take the Bikurim, put it next to the altar, shake it, lift it. What is the whole thing? The whole thing, I achieve my will. My want, my mind is only, I want Beit HaMikdash, so it's called Bechor. Bechor is to remind me that I should be all the time in Beit HaMikdash because I am Bechor. And here's the Bikurim, is a proof. And I fulfill the so-called the transaction of Yaakov. And that's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Paro this. Tell Paro that Jewish people are not going on vacation. They are going to be a Bechor. Ni Bechor Israel. That's why Makkah Bechor. That's why the Jews will save Makkah Bechor. Not because Hashem had mercy on them. Hashem had mercy on them because they're supposed to serve Hashem in time HaMikdash. So the Torah says, as long as you wanted to do it, the thing is done. So what do you want to do? So in my life, I want to do Beit HaMikdash. She says, okay, I'll see you next year. I'll see you next year. Because that's the goal. As long as you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you want in your life, and that is the purpose of your life. She says, okay, that's what you want. Beit HaMikdash, okay, so come next year. Because that's all what I want from you to want. I want your desire to be Beit HaMikdash. Perfect, come in Beit HaMikdash. Actually, the Gemara says, in time when David HaMelech was epidemic. Every day 100 people die. One of the reasons the Gemara says everybody got his property and his house and his vineyard and his fig tree and didn't think about Beit HaMikdash. Didn't think. And the Gemara says, any generation, the Beit HaMikdash is not built yet in that generation is because the people don't think about Beit HaMikdash. Until the Navi, God told David HaMelech, you know what? The epidemic, people don't think about Beit HaMikdash. Immediately David went, and he went to the king over there in Yerushalayim Arvona, and he purchased the place of Beit HaMikdash. And then the epidemic stopped. Of course, it has to do also with other things they did. And immediately David HaMelech started digging the foundation of Beit HaMikdash. Immediately. So Mizmor Shechanukah Kavod David, Mas says, Mizmor Shechanukah Kavod David, Mizmor Shechanukah Kavod David, what do you mean? David made it? Shlomo made it? No, no, no. David had a desire inside himself, Hashem needs a house, and I want to be in Beit HaMikdash. And that's why only a king that comes from David has a seat in Beit HaMikdash. Because David, in Tehillim says, there's nothing but Beit HaMikdash in your head. I don't have anything in my head. Nothing. So as long as you have it, you achieved the purpose of your life. And therefore, people of Yerushalayim will come and grant you, come inside, they're going to sing with you. You come to Beit HaMikdash, they're going to sing with you. What did you do? I brought Bikurim, made him Bikurim. I declare Bikurim, I declare firstborn, I declare Kaddishli, I declare Tefillin. I said, come to Beit HaMikdash. Hashem said, okay, come next day. And he says, oh, the curses are here. Oh, the curses. The curses, Moshe Rabbeinu did us a favor, major favor. This is what that rabbi said, he wants to go up to the curses. As long as you accept it, you're not going to have it. If you would have accepted Corona before the Corona came, you wouldn't get Corona. But people did not expect and accepted the Corona. But if you said to Hashem, listen, if you want me dead, I'm dead. Says Zohar, says Ali, accept on yourself, you got burned. You see what I'm saying? Nothing going to happen to you. You'll be in the chambers, they'll take you out. Because you died already. You died already. That's the power of the Jewish mind. So Moshe Rabbeinu did us a favor to us. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu 49 curses. Moshe said, wait. Let me tell you something. I tell you 98 curses. As long as you have in your mind that you accept it, you're never going to have it. You're never going to have it. But if you don't accept it because you don't believe or your level is not the right level, Hashem is going to happen to you. But if you're on the right level and you accept, it's done. That's just so important about Shema Yisrael, Rabbi says. Shema Yisrael is a way to get out of death. It's not, I accept death. When you accept, it means Hashem says, oh, it's done. And actually, it's in the text, it says, certain Sidurim, Dari, in the text before you go to sleep, you should say to Hashem, listen, I made to do it, but you know, nobody wants to give me death. I'm ready to die for you. But you know, there's no Bedin, there's no him. Maybe I did a sin. I'm ready to pay. Chaim said before Rosh Hashanah, that biggest present I got from Hashem. Parashat Ki Tavo. And what is this? Well, I don't know, my record, and you know, my file, and my mic, I don't know, I did certain things, that thing. I already accepted the punishment. And you really accept the punishment, Hashem will never punish you because you got it already. You got it. So the curses, so-called, is as a present from Moshe Rabbeinu to us. That as long as you accept all the punishments and you meant it, never going to happen to you. Never. As is the promise, you don't accept it with honesty. But you have to be ready, any punishment to accept, and I did. Then it comes Rosh Hashanah, Tachis Nabichotel, says the Gemara. The case is behind you. Because you're reading the Torah, and you accept the Torah, and you say Shema Yisrael twice a day, and you really wish to be in Beit HaMikdash, and you wish to be in Bikurim, and you wish to be a Bechor, and you wish to be this, Hashem says, okay, what about what you did? I accepted the punishment already. By accepting it, it's done. And that's what Chachamim say before Rosh Hashanah. You should have this parasha and you have this in mind. It comes Rosh Hashanah, free. It says, what happened? You got punished. And actually, the Zohar says that the person has to know The prosecutor upstairs is very bad prosecutor. Very bad, Satan. But Hashem has a plan, says the Zohar. And after Mashiach will come, says the Zohar, there's going to be the big day of judgment in whoever's going to be in Olam Haba. And the prosecutor is before Hashem going to slaughter him. He's going to tell Hashem, say, listen, 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 listen. And Hashem said, listen, I gave a hard time to that person. One day this, one day that, one day this, one day that. He paid already. So it doesn't matter what you're going to tell me. He paid the bill. So by suffering a little bit and by accepting everything, we pay the bill. As I said before Shoshana, before Shavuot, and before, like this, before you go to sleep, you do the Shuvah and say, Hashem, anything I did, accept my punishment. By accepting it, and you, if you mean it, if you're honest, it's done. It's a guarantee that you wake up in the morning. Guarantee. And that's the power of Shema Yisrael before you go to sleep. It's the power of Shema Yisrael in the morning. The day should go well, the night should go well. And then the life should go well. Amen.